chapter 1. That would be great. Daniel chapter 1. Good to see you in God's house on a Sunday night. Daniel chapter 1 tonight. Weren't those testimonies fantastic? That is great. Those were fantastic, and I thought we could just have an invitation in the service. And they were our church service there in Fairfield. I'm from Fairfield. Our evening service starts at 5 o'clock. So our teens were doing the same thing that your teens were doing. And like I mentioned this morning, and Brother Morris just mentioned, the reason why it's possible for our teens in Fairfield to be affected with the gospel and make decisions for Christ is because of you, Shadow Mountain Baptist Church, as a church striving together for the faith of the gospel, giving, serving, being faithful in your place. And there are teenagers right now in Fairfield that are following Jesus because of you. And you should be commended. And sometimes we don't see the big picture, but I want you to know that you are making a difference in places far beyond the borders of just Morgan Hill in this area. But Daniel chapter number 1, appreciate you here tonight. And let's stand together for the reading of God's Word. If you don't mind, I don't know if you guys do that here, but we often do that in our Sunday evening services at our church. Sometimes when we talk about Daniel, we think of Daniel and the... That's great. Figures, man. I get it every time. Daniel, lions, and... But I want us to kind of take a little bigger picture and kind of forget about the lion's den for a moment. And I want us to look at the circumstances that Daniel was in living in Babylon and what it was like to live in Babylon. And I think with God's help, we can be helped. The Bible says in verse number 3 of Daniel chapter 1, "And the king spake unto Ashpenaz, master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel and of the king's seed and of the princes, children in whom was no blemish, but well-favored, and skillful in all wisdom, and cunning in knowledge, and understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, in whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. Verse 5, "And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat, and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. Now among these were of the children of Judah, Daniel, Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah, unto whom the prince of the eunuchs gave names. For he gave unto Daniel the name Belteshazzar, and to Hananiah of Shadrach, and to Mishael of Meshach, and to Azariah of Abednego. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the princes of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself." Let's pray together. Lord, tonight I ask you that you would work in our hearts and work in our lives and use your word. And God, life as we know it can be difficult. Life as we know it can be tough. But God, we know that because of Jesus, we don't have to be overwhelmed. But God, rather we can overcome. And God, I pray that through your word and through your power and through your spirit, that you might work in the hearts and lives of people tonight. I surrender myself to you. Lord, just want to be a vessel that you can use. Ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so much. You can be seated. Have you ever felt overwhelmed? Have you ever felt like you just can't handle it anymore? Have you ever felt like just quitting? When I was in college, I had a friend, and he wanted to talk to me, and we were pretty good friends. And I went to sort of Christian College, West Coast Baptist College. Some of you may have heard of it. I know several staff here. That was a joke. I'm sorry. I said that in my church, and nobody even really, a few people know about our college, but we don't really have a whole lot of college groups in and stuff. So I say that name. They're like, "Oh, yeah, didn't you go to that college? Where is that at?" But West Coast Baptist College is where I went. And they had curfew, and they had lights out. After lights out, if you were a senior, you got to stay up late and study. I guess that's what you're supposed to do, but usually you just talked. So we checked some rooms, and then and my friend was in the lobby studying, and he said, "Hey, man, I want to talk to you." And when you're in a dorm of 128 guys, there's not many private places where you can go. I mean, goodness gracious, the bathrooms are connected to the room, so you can't even go to the bathroom and have privacy, you know? It's just, it's rough. So our privacy place oftentimes would be either the stairwell or the laundry room. And oftentimes you go to the laundry room because the machines are going on, so you can talk and people can't hear what's going on, and there's guys everywhere, and even when they're supposed to be in bed, they're everywhere. But so we went in there and talked, and he was a senior and he was about to graduate, and he's taking 20 units, he was working full time, he was graduating in just a few months and didn't know where he was going to go and didn't know what was next. He was in debt because of just really some uncontrollable things in his life, just a good guy that loved the Lord. But just a few weeks earlier, he had suffered a really hard hit in life. His mom was diagnosed with cancer, and he didn't know what the results of the test, they were still waiting for them. And he was overwhelmed. And he came to talk to me, and the breakdown happened, you know, like we all have the breakdowns. And he felt really bad that he felt overwhelmed. He felt really bad that he felt this way. You see, he had tried to have discipline and have character, and he can do it, and he was going to suck it up, but it's too much on him. You know, it's okay to not be okay. It's just not okay to stay that way. It's okay to not be okay. It's just not okay to stay that way. He was overwhelmed. Sometimes in our lives, we come to church and we're around friends and we're good at putting up fronts. Somebody says, "How are you doing?" Default answer, "I'm doing great. I'm doing good. I'm doing fantastic." When we aren't. Life, circumstances, emotions, difficulties, sickness, pain have taken us to a place where we are seriously overwhelmed. Stress, anxiety, depression are often things that come about from being overwhelmed. There are people that I know that really love Jesus with their hearts, but they struggle greatly with depression. So what do? Do we quit? Do we give up on God? Do we kind of have the slow falling out process where we quit coming Wednesday nights, then we quit coming Sunday nights, we kind of go from the front to the back, we start slipping in light. Do we quit? Do we give up? You know, tonight I don't want to berate you for feeling overwhelmed, because guess what? There's probably a whole lot of other people in this room that feel overwhelmed just like you do. But I want to show you how in Daniel's life, he overcame this feeling of being overwhelmed. The Bible is filled with people that felt overwhelmed. In the book of Psalms, the Bible says, "My heart panteth, my strength faileth me. As for the light of mine eyes, it's also gone from me." Psalms 22, verse 1, the psalmist says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" I don't know how old Daniel was in the story. The Bible doesn't say, but in verse number 4, it does use the word children. Let's think about the circumstances that Daniel was in quickly. Daniel had been taken from his family in Jerusalem. He was no longer with them. Life as he knew it was stripped from him. He would never see his family again. In Bible times, families were extremely close. He's taken from his family. He's never going to see his family again. He was taken to an unwanted place. He was taken to Babylon. He was taken from his world of normalcy and the way he did life and the way he lived his life. And that was stripped from him as a child. And he was taken to this unwanted place. He had pressure that was placed on him. We just read in Daniel chapter 1 about how the king, how because he was gifted and because he was smart, and these kids that knew a lot about science and things like that. God help you if you know a lot about science. I can't stand science. But they knew a lot about science and these things. And they were put in the palace, and they were supposed to perform, and they were supposed to do well. I was reading just a couple weeks ago a USA Today article, and it talked about how historically Japan has very high suicide rates. It talked about how many university students, they underperform academically, and their default option is, "Well, I'm just going to take my life," because of the pressure that they face to perform academically for their parents, and they can't show them their grades and without this high mark, so they just give up and they just end it all. Daniel had pressure placed on him. He was taken to a place where his faith was challenged. He grows up in a monotheistic society in Jerusalem, and he goes to Babylon, which is a polytheistic society where the God Jehovah is nowhere to be found. And there was no hope for a change in circumstances. Things were not going to change. This is where Daniel lived at in Babylon. This is where he was going to stay for a very, very long time. He was in a completely hopeless circumstance. I look at the situation that Daniel was in, and I would be in a state of depression. I would be on like every medication possible. I would be having like panic attacks and be freaking out. What do I do in life? But Daniel wasn't like that. You see, Daniel wasn't overwhelmed by his circumstances, but rather Daniel overcame his circumstances. Sometimes we read the Bible and we're like, these guys are superhuman. These guys are bigger than life. No, they're not. The one that's bigger than life is Jesus, okay? That's it. But these are normal people that go through what you go through and go through what I go through. And these guys are not, we read some of these guys like, oh, I can just be like them. The Bible's filled with weak men and women who in their weakness found the strength that Christ was enough and Christ could take them through. The Bible's not filled with strong people that were unbelievable. No, these are people that they were broken, they did wrong things, they were murderers, they did terrible things. But in their weakness, they found Christ. And they found that Christ was enough. And Daniel here is somebody that's having real life issues, but he overcame them. Tonight, I want you to know that you can overcome instead of being overwhelmed. I wasn't planning on saying this, but back in November and December, I was feeling very overwhelmed. I wasn't experiencing the abundant life that Jesus offers in John chapter 10, and I was walking with God, and I was reading my Bible, and I didn't have any known sin in my life, and you know, I was just being transparent with you. There's no reason why I should have felt overwhelmed, but honestly, I was trying to control a lot of things that I shouldn't have tried to control. I was putting pressure on my life in situations that really was just self-pressure I was putting on myself for no reason. And I'm sitting here Christmas time thinking, I've never felt like this in my life. I wasn't suicidal. I wasn't anything like that. But I wasn't me. Life was like, I was just going through the motions. I was like, where's the light at the end of the tunnel? It's like, week in, week out, week in, week out. And in January and February, I knew some things needed to change. And I'm reading what Jesus offers in John 10. I'm reading the life of Jesus and seeing what he can do in people's lives. I'm saying, God, hey, where is it? There were some books that came across my path, and there were some realizations in Daniel chapter 1 that I want us to see tonight that really helped me to overcome instead of being overwhelmed. I see, first of all, realization number one that Daniel had was God is greater than your circumstances. In Daniel chapter 1, verses 13 and 14, the Bible says, prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days. Let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink. Then let our countenance be looked upon before thee, and the countenance of the children that eat of the portion of the king's meat. And as thou seest, deal with thy servants. Okay, here's the big deal about this situation. A lot of us know about it. This is meat that's being offered to idols. This is meat that was being offered to false gods. And Daniel says, we can't do that. Daniel says, we can't eat that. Daniel says, I'm not going to do that. And Daniel makes a decision. We know the story. Daniel makes a decision that he's going to eat pulse, that he's going to eat these things, and he's not going to eat meat that was offered to idols. And he ends up being healthier and stronger, and him and the guys end up being healthier and stronger than the guys that ate meat. How is that possible? That should have never happened. How can you not eat meat and be stronger than the guys that do? I'll tell you why. It was because God was bigger than the circumstance that Daniel was in. God is bigger than the doctor's appointment that you have. God's bigger than the wayward child that you have. God is bigger than the job situation that you're struggling with. God's bigger than the health situation, than the test that you're waiting on right now. God is bigger than your future. God is bigger than that housing situation that you are struggling with right now. And I was talking to Matt and Ashley at lunch today. I'm so thankful they took me out to lunch, so kind of them. And they were telling me the cost of houses and apartments and stuff out here. And I'm like, it is absolutely ridiculous. How do you guys live around here? I was thinking, this is unbelievable. The cost of living is expensive. The Bible says in Psalms chapter 19, verse 1, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. In other words, you can look at creation, and you can see the greatness of God. And you can see the power of God. And you can see how great God is. And sometimes we're looking around saying, God, where are you at? God, these circumstances are overwhelming. But when we take a moment sometimes and maybe go to a beach, or maybe look at a sunset, or maybe climb up Mission Peak, or maybe hike somewhere, and you get a view of, this is the creator of the world. This is the God that's in control of the circumstances that we're struggling with. This is the God that's placed us right where we are, and this is the God that can get us out of this situation. Perry Noble says, what gets our attention ultimately determines our direction. If we're constantly focused on circumstances, we will be overwhelmed. Sometimes we forget the fact that God is bigger and God is greater. And Daniel understood that God was greater, but Daniel also, second of all, his realization was he embraced his identity. In verse number 7 of Daniel chapter 1, the Bible says, unto whom the prince of the eunuchs gave names, for he gave unto Daniel the name of Belteshazzar. Not a big deal, right? Just change his name. Just gave him a nickname, you know, like, hey, I don't really like the name Daniel anymore. I'm going with Belteshazzar, you know, a little flashier, sounds better, you know, kind of longer. You're really going to, when you have kids or when kids come around you, like, they're really not going to know how to spell your name or whatever. We're going to go Belteshazzar, right? Like, it's not a big deal. It's just a change of names. But we don't have time to go into it, but culturally, this is a huge deal because this was not just a change of names. This was a complete change of identity that Babylon, that the king wanted to do. But by the way, we're not reading the book of Belteshazzar. We are reading the book of Daniel. And this is why, because when the king says, no, you're not Daniel anymore, you're Belteshazzar, Daniel says, hey, you can call me what you want. That's not who I am. And sometimes in lives, we get overwhelmed by circumstances. Rather than embracing our identity of who we are in Christ, instead, our identity takes on the role of what we're struggling with. I'm an addict. I'm a worrier. I'm a fill in the blank. I'm just negative. That's just how I am. That's just accept me how I am. That's not who you are. You are in Christ. And because of Christ, because of who Christ is, you can embrace your true identity. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 that we are new creatures because of Christ. And we can sit here and say, oh, I'm an addict, I'm this, I'm that. Or you can embrace your identity of who you really are and who Christ says you are and what Christ says about you. And until you embrace your identity of what Christ says about you, rather than what your circumstances say about you, you're never going to allow yourself to overcome. In order to not be overwhelmed by our circumstance, we can't take on the identity of what enslaves us. We embrace our true identity when we stop identifying ourselves by our slavery and start identifying ourselves by our Savior. We have to understand that what Christ says about us is who we are. What Christ says about us as new creatures, as overcomers, is who we are. Because Christ is greater. He is greater. And sometimes when we're in the midst of overwhelming things, we say, I'm just going to be here forever. I'm never going to get out of it. But what Daniel did, Daniel embraced his identity of who he was. And he says, baby, Belteshazzar, maybe that's what you want to call me, but that's not who I am. Being overwhelmed may describe you, but because of Jesus, you can't let it define you. Being overwhelmed may describe you right now. But because of Jesus, you can't let it define you. You are not a failure. You are not somebody that's just a bad person. I'm a failure of a Christian. I'll never get better. That is not who you are. And when you are overwhelmed and when life is just beating you up, you cannot take on that identity. Because when you take on that identity, you are going to be overwhelmed and you will never overcome. Realization number 3. Daniel did not allow his circumstances to shape his belief system, but rather he allowed his belief system to overcome his circumstances. I think in your outline it might say something like, don't allow your circumstances to shape your belief system, but rather allow your belief system to overcome your circumstances. Daniel 1 verse 8, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Daniel gets put in this circumstance that's unwanted, and everything is put in question. He's now facing things that he's never imagined that he would face. What's Daniel's belief system? He's from Jerusalem, Jehovah God, monotheistic. He believes that God is greater. He believes that, according to this verse, he shouldn't defile himself. He believes that God is in control. Yet, his belief system and the circumstances that he's in are colliding. And what's going to happen? His belief system and his circumstances collide. And what's going to happen? He's offered meat that served to idols, the temptations on him, the pressures on him. But yet he allows his belief system to overcome his circumstance. We're in a church, and this is what we claim is our belief system, the Bible. If I were to say, who in here believes the Bible is the Word of God? Everybody, probably most people in here are going to raise your hand. Who in here believes that Jesus Christ is Savior? Everybody, it's me. Who in here believes that Jesus Christ is the truth? Jesus Christ is, look, we believe that, right? That's what we say we believe. But then what happens is life gets tough. is life gets stressful. Anxiety gets thick. And sometimes when our belief system, the Bible and Jesus, get hit with the circumstances, sometimes we begin to feel a little insecure. And sometimes we begin to doubt. I want to say a few words that I want to give you a few verses. I think it's in your outline that Jesus said. And I want you to think about these words. I am come that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly. Jesus says in the midst of a storm, peace, be still. Jesus in Matthew 28, lo, I am with you always. When you are so overwhelmed and it seems like you just can't get any rest, seems like you just can't sleep good at night, let your belief system, Jesus, overcome that circumstance. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 4, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Realization number 4, God may not deliver you from your circumstances. He may deliver you in your circumstances. God may not deliver you from your circumstances. He may deliver you in your circumstances. In verse number 9, now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. Daniel wasn't leaving Babylon. Wasn't going to happen. Sometimes we think, once I get a better job, it's better. Once I get a better car, once I get a better house, once I can move to a different city and get out of this place, it's better. For Daniel, that wasn't going to happen. Like, there was not hope that he was going to leave. It wasn't like, okay, I'm going to pray really hard and God's going to send me back to Jerusalem. No, that was God's will for Daniel's life. Was right where he was. It was a circumstance that was out of his control, and that was God's will for his life. Daniel could have lost faith, but God knew exactly what he was doing when he placed him in that circumstance. You know, God knew exactly what he was doing when the doctors gave the results to that test back to you. God knew exactly what he was doing when the economy hit hard. God knew exactly what he was doing when the benefits that you had were lost. God knew exactly what he was doing when the boss called you in for the meeting or you got the email that said the company was downsizing and it might be you. God knew exactly what he was doing. And sometimes we don't need to change in our circumstances, but rather we need to change in our perspective of our circumstances. We often want God to change our circumstances, but God often wants to change us through our circumstances. Could it be that the reason why God has you where you are, could it be that the circumstance that you're in right now, could it possibly be that God has a reason for it? That God wants to teach you to let go of maybe your pride and let go of maybe your idolatry and let go of maybe these things that are holding you back. And God wants to teach you just to yield and just to surrender and just to trust Jesus in a way that you never could unless that circumstance happened. And just like Jonah in the belly of the whale, when God allowed the whale to swallow Jonah, God was not mad at Jonah. God was not cursing Jonah. But God knew this, that the only way that Jonah would follow him, the only way that Jonah would find the fulfillment and the joy of following Jesus would bring is if he brought that whale and God used the whale, that terrible circumstance, to deliver Jonah from himself. Sometimes I just like to do things on my own. I don't need anybody. I can do this. And as men, we like to think that we're macho, and we're not macho. We like to think that we're powerful, and we like to be the heroes and the rest. We are not. We have issues. And sometimes God will take us to a circumstance. And sometimes God will put us somewhere because he wants to help us grow in that circumstance. You know you've been delivered in your circumstances when you go from resisting the circumstance to resting in God's will. When you go from running from that trial to remembering you have a God that runs to you in the midst of trials. When you go from seeking to escape the trials to seeking God's grace in those trials. We have to come to a point where we can ask God to change us in our attitude rather than asking him to change our circumstances. Could it possibly be that God has you right where he wants you? Could it be? Could it be that God's put you in that family and God's put you in that place and God's put you there for a reason? I was talking to a young adult at our church, and she's trying to follow Jesus with all her heart and she's doing well, but her family is not right now. They're not in the best state. Her parents are separating. Her her brother is in and out of rehab, and there's several other instances, and she says, Nate, I don't understand. Like, why am I in this circumstance? It wasn't something that she chose. She's trying to follow the Lord. She's trying to do what's right. And all I can say is this. I don't know why God has you there, but I do know this, that God has you there for a reason. And sometimes God doesn't want to take you away from Babylon and take you back to Jerusalem, that place of comfort. Sometimes God wants to leave you in Babylon to strengthen you and to grow you and to help you and to change you into what he wants you to be. Realization number 5, and we're finished tonight. When we stop fighting for control, we can finally surrender to the one who is in control. When we stop fighting for control, we can finally surrender to the one who is in control. Daniel chapter 6, my God hath sent his angel and hath shut the lion's mouth, that they have not hurt me, for as much as before him the innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done thee no hurt. Daniel understood the fact that God was in control, and when Daniel faced the heat, the lion's den, when Daniel faced the heat of stop praying and not face the lion's den or pray and face the lion's den, Daniel said, look, hey, God's in control. God knows what's happening. God knows where I am, and I'm going to stay by the stuff, and I'm going to stay faithful because God is the one that's in control. And sometimes in life, we try to control things. By the way, if you try to control everything, your world's going to be a very small little world because people don't like that. Control, if you think about it, it's really a myth because you can't control pulling out on Monterey there and what a drunk driver could come and hit you. You can't control that. You can't control news or an email you might get tomorrow at work. You can't control if you're going to get sick this week or next week. You can't control what your kids are going to do, We really can't control a lot of things, although we like to think that we can. And I find that I'm at my worst when I'm trying to control things. I'm at my worst when I'm trying to, like, put things together and manipulate things. I lead our young adults at our church there, and one of my responsibilities. And whenever we do stuff, we have events that we have, and I always try to, I have them all planned out. We have our leadership team and our young adults, and we meet a couple times a month and talk about stuff and how we can help people. And we plan out these events, and I mean, we plan them to a T. And when things don't happen exactly how they're supposed to happen, guess what? I get upset. And I always spiritualize it. I'm the leader. Things are supposed to go this way. It's my responsibility to make sure this happens and that. And sometimes God is just saying, hey, dude, back up. I know more than you. Hey, dude, I'm in control. Hey, dude, I can bring more people than you can. And ultimately, I get robbed of joy of seeing what God's doing because I worry about making sure everything's in place. I get robbed of joy of seeing what God's doing because I'm sitting here saying, oh, when's the meat going to come for the barbecue? Why is it not here? Why is this leader running late? What? And it's like, I'm being stupid. Hope I can say that here. I'm being dumb. Why? Because I am trying to control everything. You know what Daniel did? Daniel let go. Daniel's, I'm in Babylon. Okay, I'm not in the circumstance I want. I'm not where I want, but I'm still going to pray. I'm still going to be faithful. Can you see he's about to go in the lion's den? And he's like, okay, God, you're still in control, right? But guess what happened? God delivered him because Daniel gave up control. And in our lives, if we can get to a place where we can say, God, you're in control. Can't control my kids. Can't control my family. Can't control my work. Can't control this. God, here I am. You're in control. I just want to yield to you. You can overcome. It's a very liberating place in our lives when we quit trying to fix everything, quit trying to do everything, and just let God have control. Perry Noble says this, most anxiety and stress in our lives can be traced back to a point where we decided we were going to take control rather than believe that God is in control. God is greater than your circumstances. We can embrace our identity in Christ. We can allow our belief system to overcome our circumstances. God may not deliver us from the circumstances, but God may deliver us in the circumstances. And we can give up and understand that God truly is control. Tonight, do you feel overwhelmed? So you just feel overwhelmed. I want you to know, not because you're strong, not because of the car you drive or the family you're in, but because of Christ, you don't have to be overwhelmed. You can overcome. Let's have a word of prayer.